turn to Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 9. While we have listened to very helpful teaching and exhortation, what is before my mind is really very, very simple. Now, I hope that you won't take that to mean that I don't want you to take it seriously, but it's very simple. We will notice in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 9, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Verse 5, "For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." Now I want you to look at verse 2. "Be of good cheer." Now that word is mentioned 9 times in the New Testament. I'm not going to look at the 9 of them. But if we were to translate that word in our thinking today, the word would say, cheer up. Now I have spoken on this before, but I have to tell you I need it again. Sometimes people wonder if preachers ever get discouraged. Well, I'm afraid sometimes we do, because we're only human and we're a poor bunch sometimes, and we need to cheer up. So what I want to notice with you are 5 occasions when the Word of God tells us to cheer up. This is the first one. Cheer up. Your sins are forgiven. Now turn to Mark, please, chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Now read it, verse 45. "Straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea. And he would have passed by them, but when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were amazed in themselves beyond measure." Chapter 10, please. Cheer up, he says, it is I, be not afraid. Verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, or cheer up. He calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." My, I'd like to have been there that day. I'd like to have seen that poor beggar following the Lord Jesus with his eyes open. Turn to John 16, please. John chapter 16, And verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But cheer up, I have overcome the world." Beautiful words. I have overcome the world. Now there's one final reading in Acts, the book of the Acts in chapter 23. Here's one of the Lord's servants. Dear man, he's in bad shape. He's discouraged. Verse 11, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Cheer up, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And if you were to read the rest of the chapter, you'll find that he was cheered up. He got a hold of it from the hand and from the lips of the Lord Jesus. First of all, I would like you to think of the reason for cheer is the forgiveness of sins. Now, there is a very simple principle in this great work of the Lord Jesus. When we think of the man being on a bed and somebody says to him, cheer up. You know, it's very difficult to say that to people that are on a bed. Sometimes you go to visit the dear folks that are ill and older and you try to cheer them up. It's a difficult business to cheer them up. But the Lord Jesus gives us a principle here that always works. It's marvelous. You talk to those dear saints, and there they are, and they're down, and you listen to them for a while, and they tell you how they are on their bed, and they'll tell you, like this man, and paralytic, Lord, I can't do anything. I can't even earn my living, and things are real bad. Is it possible there's a dear saint has come here this afternoon, and you're down because those whom you love are sick? The Lord Jesus said, cheer up. That's where the cheer came from. That's the source of it. But the principle or the priority that the Lord Jesus gives us, he intended to lay his hand on that man's body. But my dear brethren and sisters, while I'm well in health, God is good to me and I appreciate it. And I hope I don't abuse that health and waste it. But I want to say to you today, some of you, I look into your faces now while I'm speaking, and I know you've been on the bed, a hospital bed, and you wondered if perhaps this is how I'm going to go home to heaven. You know, it's marvelous to see that the Lord Jesus said, don't worry about your body. You cheer up, your sins are forgiven. You know, my brethren, the Lord Jesus gives us to see it's our soul that comes first. It's eternity that comes first. It's the realities that are spiritual that should be in preeminence. And then the Lord Jesus turned around and he put his hand on his body and he healed him. I hope that I can learn that lesson, and I hope that you will learn that lesson. And that dear one at home that you're trying to visit. You know, I was just talking to dear sister Mrs. Flint just yesterday, day before yesterday. And, of course, talking about her dear husband, she's very frustrated with him. We might remember to pray for him. It would have been well if we united our hearts to pray for him at the conference. But you know what that dear old soul said to me? She said, Jim, I believe the Lord has given me the health to care for my husband for his sake. My, I thought, pleasing Christ? That must have been sweet music to heaven. He's given me the health to care for my husband for his sake. Dear brethren, cheer up. Our sins are forgiven, and while we lie upon that bed, and you may eventually lie upon a bed, may God write these little words upon your heart. Cheer up. Don't let it get you down. Your sins are forgiven. Now, I would like you to notice that there was a second reason for it, as I leave that with you quickly. It was a testimony. There were unbelievers looking on. There were unbelievers watching a man on his bed. They'd seen him on that bed for many a day. But now there's a joy has come over his face. Why, that face that was so sorrowful because of paralysis. He's smiling. What is it has put joy into that man's soul? Sins were forgiven. And as he lay on his bed, He was happy in the forgiveness of sins. Oh, may the Lord graciously put cheer into our heart. Cheer up, he says, your sins are forgiven you. And that's of more value than anything else in life. Priorities and testimony. In the second reading, just very briefly in Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, we find the dear disciples, and where we began reading in verse 45, we read there about the Lord Jesus telling his disciples to get into a boat and go to the other side. And then he went away and left them. He went into a mountain to pray. But it's very interesting that the verse following says, and he saw them. Mind you, my dear brethren, let us never ever forget that in the pathway of seeking to be obedient to the Lord's word, he told them to go and they went. And as they went, a storm blew up. And of course, when they're alone and there's a storm, then they're afraid. I talked to a dear brother one day who was dying with cancer. He told me, Jim, he said, I've been reading Mark chapter 6 today, and he said, I really got help out of it. Those dear disciples thought they were going to go down. They thought sure the last wave was going to go over their boat and it would be goodbye, Peter, we're going down. But you know, he said, I learned a lesson. The Lord Jesus let them drink water, but he never let them sink. My brethren, what a lesson. Cheer up, he says, you won't sink. Cheer up, you won't sink. Is there a believer here today, perhaps a young lady or a young man, and you've come from a home, and mother and father don't appreciate your devotion to the Lord Jesus? Perhaps they've made it difficult for you. I know a dear girl, and they shut her into her room and wouldn't let her eat with them. Wouldn't even let her do her homework out at the open table. Shut her in her room when she came home from school. She stayed there till bedtime. Persecuted. 17 years of age. Cheer up, my brother. Cheer up, my dear sister. The waves are high. There are occasions when the price you pay for obedience to the Lord Jesus will make it look like you're alone. I'm alone. Where is the Lord? They didn't see him, but he saw them. He came to them on the water and he says, cheer up. It is I. And brethren, that was the answer to the storm. The nearness of the presence of the Lord Jesus. Cheer up. Are you in a storm? I do not know what type of a wave may be beating on you. Some of my dear brethren and sisters have contracted diseases or whatever it is, and it has weakened them. And they get discouraged. I know they do. I've seen tears on their face. They don't know what to say or where to go. And the water rises and they're going to sink. Cheer up, the Lord Jesus says, you won't sink. It is I. And the presence of the Lord Jesus with soaking wet disciples was enough to stop the wind, to calm the wave, and to save the disciples. Cheer up, brother. My beloved sister, cheer up. You won't sink, for the Lord Jesus is beside you. In the third reading, you will have noticed in chapter 10, it's a dear blind man. Oh my, how many years he had been wandering in the dark. Must have been a frustrating experience. See him there, sitting by the wayside begging. He likely got many a kick, and likely many a jeer. Many a day, he begged for a few more pennies just to get that loaf of bread. But there he sits, poor old beggar. One day the Lord Jesus came by. My, what a day that must have been. You know, eternity, brethren, eternity will never erase the memories of that day in the life of Bartimaeus. You'll talk about it forever. What day when the Lord Jesus came by? Marvelous moment. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. The cry went up. And amidst that crowd, people said, be quiet, man. Here's no time for a beggar. Why, it's the Son of God. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me 3 times. The man raised his cry to the God of heaven. And the people said, he's not even listening. But cheer up. Cheer up, they said to him. He heard your call. My dear brethren, heaven has heard your prayer. I think of dear mothers and dear fathers and many a letter we received from them. And they'll put in their letter, pray for my son. Don't forget to pray for my daughter. Why is that? Because they're praying every day. But I would like to tell you, my dear brethren, cheer up because he has heard you. And he called. I have proof in my own life that God hears prayers about rebellious children. Times when we've been upon our knees, after supper, after we've read, we're down upon our knees to pray. I remember one particular time the phone rang while we were praying. Of course, I think the devil gets into that instrument many a time when you're praying, but it wasn't the devil this time. We hastened to end our prayer, and I answered the phone, and here it was my son. And you know, very interestingly and very simply, he just told us. He says, I was just thinking about you, Dad. Somehow or other, he says, my thoughts turned to you and Mom. I said, I think I better call them. And I told him that we were praying and had just mentioned his name to God. You know what he said? He said, I know, Dad. I know. Now, you can't tell me that that's not an answer to prayer. Cheer up, brother. He has heard your prayer. Cheer up, my dear sister. God has heard your prayer. Don't go down. Don't let go. Don't stop calling. Dear Bartimaeus called, mother of Charles Finney. Charles was a wicked boy. He'd gone away from home, far, far away, to another country, to get away from mother, to get away from a Bible, to get away from a praying mother. He went away into America. 3 o'clock in the morning, mother's upon her knees, crying to God for her son, wherever he was. She wasn't sure. 3 o'clock in the morning, Charles Finney was making his way down the street to go to the bridge to take his life. He was fed up with his sin. He was discouraged. And as he made his way along the street, he thought of his mother. And he remembered that his mother had put a little testament into his bag. And he stopped and he said, maybe I should read that testament. He made his way back to his little room, burrowed into his materials, and he found the little testament. Got down upon his knees and cried to God for forgiveness of sins. And that night, Charles Finney got saved. A praying mother. Cheer up, my dear sister. God has heard your prayer. I know not how he will answer you. I know not when I will see all my prayers answered for my sons and their sins, but I want to tell you one thing. I'm absolutely assured God will answer them. And I might have to go home to heaven before the answer comes. But that won't stop the answer. Cheer up, brother. Cheer up, your sins are forgiven you. Cheer up, said the Lord Jesus, you won't sink. Cheer up, man, he has heard your cry. I turn to the fourth one very quickly in John chapter 16, and we have separation's price. The Lord Jesus said the world will hate you. Here's these dear disciples, and they're going to be left alone now without the Lord Jesus at their side. They won't be able to see him, hear him, or touch him. He's going to go home to heaven. And he's going to leave them to minister in a hostile world. But he says, you cheer up. I have overcome the world. You know, the idea that the Lord Jesus is giving there is the abiding victory that he's going to accomplish. It's an abiding victory. We enter into it. We're standing in the good of it right in this old world tonight. You cheer up, my brother. If the world manifests its hatred against you and your Savior, cheer up. We're on the winning side. Thank God we are. At times it looks like the battlement is against us, and it looks like the battle against us is winning. But we are on the winning side. We're linked with him who has established a victory that abides still. He says, you cheer up. I have overcome the world. I must sit down. I want you to notice in Acts chapter 23, we have a discouraged preacher. Dear Paul, may I tell you, when I look at that dear man's list of what he went through for the gospel's sake, he was a man whose heart was filled with love for Christ. We've been hearing of it this afternoon again. Oh, may God send us away from Hartford with a deeper longing in our little hearts. Oh, God, help me. Help me to love the Lord Jesus more. There's only one way to do it. That's to get to know Him better. The more that you know Him, the more that you'll love Him. And the more that you love Him, the more love He affords. What a wonderful Savior. He says, cheer up, Paul. I have work for you to do. Oh, but Paul, his hands are rattling with chains. His back is bleeding from the lash. Paul has given his life. He bears brand marks for the Lord Jesus. Now he's down. The Lord stood by him and said, cheer up, Paul. I'm going to send you yonder to preach the gospel in Rome also. I'm going to give you the opportunity to preach the gospel elsewhere and see souls saved. Cheer up. I still have something for you to do. May God put that into our soul. And as we move away, back to the old office, they're smoking, they're swearing. Of course, some of your offices, you won't let them smoke. That's the right thing. Stinking old weed. People suck on that old thing like it was a candy or something. Big dummies. And there they are with nothing. And they smell. And they're sick and they cough. And you get discouraged. Oh, Lord, what do I work in this old place for? Cheer up. It says, cheer up. I have work for you to do. The world may laugh at you and the world make fun of you. And the working place is heavy. You didn't get your raise, did you? And they went and changed the health benefits, too, if you can beat that. And it wasn't for the better. And New England is in a recession, you'd think. It's not over yet either, is it? But cheer up. Cheer up, man. I have work for you to do. God, fill your hands, beloved. God, graciously guide our feet. In His mercy, fill our heart. And lift up our soul. Our redemption draweth nigh. May God cheer up our hearts. Our sins are forgiven. We won't sink. No, the Lord Jesus said, I am with you. And as we think of dear Bartimaeus, we can say, He has heard my cry, and He heard it again today when we prayed. May God give us little glimpses of the cheer that comes from the Lord being beside us and giving us fresh work to do for Him till we see His face.